The following message is brought to you by Charles L. King, Jr., pastor of First Baptist Church, West College Hill. If you need additional information, visit firstbaptistchurchwch.org.
To all of our guests, loved ones, and visitors, we got in one of our daughters from the house all the way in from Chicago, Illinois, Miss Brenda Gaines. Come on, somebody, give God a hand clap of praise. Amen. Now, some of y'all say, wait a minute, she come further than that, didn't she? No, she done relocated. Come on, somebody. Out there in sunny California, now she from cold Chicago. But God is good and God is faithful. That puts her just a little bit closer to her mom and her other family members as far as proximity. So, Miss Brenda, God bless you. May God keep you. Again, to all of our guests and visitors, thank you so much for, I'm going to do the shameless plug right now for my man, Alan Payne, because he's one of the assistant coaches for the Xavier Musketeer basketball team. Give it up for Xavier Musketeers. Come on, somebody. Amen. Amen. Now he's over there. He said, I ain't pick up one basketball. Come on, somebody. But he done had to motivate them. I'm just saying, you know, they in the Sweet 16. I'm just letting you know that messed up a few brackets. Some of y'all had Florida State. You don't got the line. You in church. Come on, somebody. Come on. No, I had Xavier the whole time. That's shameless, because I know we got some UC fans, so we'll be rooting for them, too. I don't have a horse in the race. I'm just enjoying the game of basketball. Amen, amen, amen. But there is a word from the Lord. Amen, there is a word from the Lord. Amen, amen, that I want to lift up today. It's from Isaiah, in case you didn't hear it. It's from Isaiah, the 61st chapter. Isaiah 61, verse 1. I'm going to lift up one verse. I'll be reading this morning from the New King James Version of the Bible. It says, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because the Lord has anointed me to preach good tidings to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to those who are bound. Now, before you take your seat, I want you to think about this, because I want to spend just a little time on today, not only on this single verse, but I want to spend some time on this verse with the hope and prayer that we will discover. I told you all I'm in this reset mode. And so I want us to discover some fresh revelation and some fresh truth from a familiar passage of Scripture. Because I believe if we can get there, we'll have some potential to change our lives. As a matter of fact, I don't want to just spend time on the word, on the verse. There's a single word in the verse that I'm going to hang my hat on. And it's right there. It's about the 10th word, depending on what your translation is. It's the word because. It's a big word. So this morning, with your prayers and by the aid of the Holy Spirit, we just want to lift up the message. Because you may be seated in the presence of our God. Amen, 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 amen. Because. This is a critical and important word to understand, my brothers and my sisters, because it's a word that we discovered when we were children, or maybe even used in our adult lives, and we use it a lot, sometimes subconsciously and without much thought. As a matter of fact, I wrote down, I got excited about that song we sang this morning. I wrote down that the first song we sang as a congregational hymn, the verse says, because he lives. Now, I'm going to fix it in a minute, but because he lives, I can face tomorrow. Because he lives, all fear is gone. And then we just sung another song within our choir, and they said, I'm alive today because of his grace. Come on, somebody. Amen. Amen. But I want you to think just for a moment about if you have any children or grandchildren, and if you don't have any of them, you got nieces and nephews and etc. And think about a time when think of these children now. So think about a time when you've scolded them or maybe for doing something disobeying, doing something wrong or inappropriate, and you ask them why they did what they did, and they respond, because, just because. You ever caught them in a lie? You ask them why they didn't tell the truth, and they respond, you know, because. And even raise your voice at a child when they were watching television, and you say, I know you heard me calling you. Why didn't you answer me? And they respond, because. And they don't have anything else. That's all they got. Think about this for a moment. If you're taking notes, I want you to write this down. Whether it's your child talking to you or maybe you talking to somebody else, watch this. I got some intellects. I'm gonna mess with you. I'm gonna prick your heart, but I need to mess with your mind right now. Listen. Whenever you respond to someone and you allow because to stand alone, watch this, then what you've done is you've reduced that from a reason and relegated it to a response. I'm gonna fix it in a minute. That's why we had a hard time singing that song, because we were singing it in response, and it wasn't your reason. I'm gonna fix it. But whenever because is a word that stands alone, you reduced it from a reason and you've relegated it to a response. In other words, there's a whole lot of stuff we do in life, and it's just because. But the because in this text is critical for our Christian walk. What are you saying, Pastor King? Well, it's important that the because in this text, in this verse, is our reason and not merely our response. Listen to the verse again. It says, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me because the Lord has anointed me. Again, if you're taking notes, write this down. I've stopped putting a whole bunch on there because I don't want to dictate what the Holy Spirit tells you to write down. So y'all might be catching some different stuff. So watch this. Isaiah lets us know because is the evidence. Amen. I heard you all talking about it this morning. You see, there's a whole lot of stuff that's just because, but there's no evidence, no fruit. Amen. So folk are trying to figure stuff out, and we're just saying just because. But Isaiah's saying, I'm not doing what I'm doing just because. I need you to see and understand the evidence. Amen. Many times we as Christians, however, can't give the evidence of our hope. We can't give the evidence of our salvation. You ever ask anybody about their salvation, or maybe why they do what they do in church, or maybe even why they go to church at all? Come on, somebody. And the best response they have is because. I mean, it's Sunday. That's just what we do. First Sunday, we got communion. Or fourth Sunday, we got communion. Mm-mm. How do you know that you're saved? And we relegate it to just because. Oh, because I know that I know that I know. Why do you do what you do in your church? Just because. Why do you go to church? Just because. And even if you add to that's what we've always done, or just because that's what we do on Sundays, you've still reduced your because from a reason and merely relegated it to a response. Isaiah knew that a change had taken place in his life. And he knew this because. And what he does is he clearly anticipates the because in his calling, and he expounds on it in the first verse. Listen, I'm talking to somebody, and I'm not trying to put you on Front Street, but I need to tell you this. Something must take place in your life, or we will remain and stay stuck in response mode instead of in evidence mode. I'm in a reset. I'm just being honest. I'm going on my 12th year, but the Lord has had to hook me up on some stuff. He said, you've been giving too many responses. So I need you to get some evidence. Amen. See, Mary, you know who Mary was. Mary understood this when she was a very young age. You remember when the angel came and spoke to her, and she said that the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Mary, in other words, Keeling, they said, Mary, you're going to be pregnant and not know and know that it's not by a man. But then he provided her with her because the Holy Spirit will come upon you and the power of the Most High. See, she's going to want to know, how am I going to get pregnant and I'm not going to be with a man? And it can't be just because. There's got to be an answer. Even Jesus himself, teach Holy Ghost, understood. He understood it at his baptism by John the Baptist, when the Holy Spirit descended on him and the voice from heaven said, "This is my beloved son, of whom I am well pleased." Now watch this. Even Jesus was now released, come on somebody, for ministry, and he knew it because Isaiah in this text was providing us with the evidence of his calling. For it's important what Isaiah identifies as his because. He says, because the Lord has anointed me. Now I gotta park it right there, Sister Keeling, because it's not only, we like to say this, and I love it too, and it's true, it's the anointing that makes the difference. Amen. It's the anointing that makes the difference, but here's the problem. The problem is that there are too many being anointed by the wrong things and in the wrong way. Man, I'm about to mess up somebody's theology and teaching. I know I got visitors in here, but I understand too many of us, we are anointed by the bishop, but we're not anointed by the Lord. We're anointed by the presbytery instead of the Lord. We're anointed by church elders and leaders instead of the Lord. We're anointed by prelates instead of the Lord. The because must be tied to the Lord. Amen. Can't be tied to our dreams. Can't be tied to our desires. It can't be tied to our wants. Isaiah said, because the Lord has anointed me. This power-packed verse, Isaiah prophesies that those so transformed by the work of Jesus Christ were meant to stand out. Now I got to fix it, because we got a whole lot of standing out and coming out in the church. Come on, somebody. But he said we're meant to stand out. But we stand out not to show off, but because. We stand out not to stand out to say, "Ooh, we look at me." We stand out for because. And we stand out, wait a minute, not even to say to our haters, "How you like me now?" We stand out because of our because. The because in this verse talks about the transforming work of the Holy Spirit that changes you and me. Only when we are transformed, we are then designed to stand out. So much so, you don't even have to open up your mouth. People will see it in your life. They'll see it in your behavior. They'll see, I heard it, they'll see the manifestation of some fruit. And the fruit is like the fruit of the Spirit. You can't call yourself a Christian and you don't have no joy. You can't call yourself a Christian and there's never any peace. That's a manifestation of the Spirit. That's some fruit. Amen. We are to stand out as great examples of what it means to be a follower of God. Stand out for the purpose of showing forth the greatness of the glory of God. And we stand out for the purpose of showing the world that God can and God will do what only God can and God will do. Amen. This verse reminds us that we are not to be self-focused, but we're to be God-focused because of the transformational work of Christ in our lives and the glory of God is seen in increasing measure through our lives and our behavior, our walk, and our talk. Listen, Isaiah prophesies, watch the text, that those who are so transformed by the work of Jesus will stand out, and they're meant to stand out. Here it is. Sadly, unfortunately, the reality is that a whole lot of Christianity today universally is self-focused. See, we don't want to attend the church until we hear a lot about what God is going to give us. We don't want to hear about what God is. We want to hear about God going to elevate us. We want to hear about how wonderful and prosperous the Lord is going to make us. But that's a self-focused gospel, my brothers and my sisters, instead of a God-focused gospel. Isaiah said he was empowered not for his own gain, but to be of help to others. He said it was the because that allowed him to be led by the Spirit of God to lead God's people. He said it was his because that allowed him to be set apart to preach. He said it was the because that allowed him to bind up the brokenhearted. He said it was the because that allowed him to proclaim liberty to the captives. And he said it was because of the because that allowed him to open the prison to them that were bound. Holy Spirit convicted me, and he said, listen. Well-fed, stable, biblically literate, congregations who are growing in Christ are the products, watch this, of preaching and ministry that glorifies God and changes lives. We got to be careful what our measure is. Our measure is too much like the ABCs. It's attendance, it's the building fund, or the building, and it's the contributions. And the Holy Spirit said, you can't measure like that. You can't measure by attendance, how big or small your building is, or how low or high your contributions are. He said, well-fed, biblically literate congregations who are growing in Christ are the products of preaching and ministry that glorifies God and changes lives. It was that type of preaching that was characterized throughout the New Testament. John the Baptist, he preached, and the whole countryside standing around listened and responded. He preached, and dignitaries of his day were aware of who he was. Peter preached, and 3,000 souls were saved. Paul, he preached, and nations were changed. At Nazareth, Jesus was invited to read scripture and then to preach. Listen. I'm going to bring us all in here. The God who calls us, whether it be to preach or in general terms to minister, because all of us are called to minister. We're all called ministers of the gospel. Amen. He calls us to a spirit-anointed ministry from the pulpit to the door, and every ministry in between, every ministry, every outreach, every auxiliary, etc. Listen, we cannot do what we do without the because operating in our lives. Powerful ministry is the unction or the evidence of the anointing in our lives. There's too much going through the motion in too many of our churches today, and that's why folk are dying, going to a Christless grave, because we thought we did good because we sang so good. We thought we did good because we preached so good, but folks aren't getting saved. powerful ministry is the unction or the evidence of the anointing in our lives. It's the unction or the evidence that the message is not our own. But here it is. This is why some people, some ministries, and some churches don't get there, Lampkin, because spirit-anointed ministry does not come without or being willing to pay a price. What's the price? What's the price? What's the price? What's it going to cost me? Well, it might cost you being broken by God. It might cost you being molded by prayer. It might cost you, or you're going to have to learn how to get prostrate or humble and make your total dependence on the power of God. See, until you're ready to do that, quit talking about it's the anointing that makes the difference, because we're trying to make a difference on our own. And God said, you can't make a difference on your own. It's the anointing that makes the difference. So until you're ready to pay the price of being broken, till you're ready to be molded by prayer, not just lifting up lofty prayers, but being molded by and prostrated and humble dependence upon God for your power. Can I tell you today that there's a difference between preaching and or ministering out of the natural ability versus preaching or ministering out of the dependence on the Holy Spirit or under the anointing? Whether preaching sermons, teaching in Sunday school, Bible study, evangelizing in the jails, on the corners, or in any other type of ministry, service, or duty, or outreach, our message will always be more vital, hear me today, if the listener can be made to understand why the message or ministry is important to them. Listen, and because I've talked to the ministers and deacons' wives, and they keep this thing in front of them, we must make sure that every time we go to talk to those ladies, make sure we don't want them to think that they blessed just because we showed up. But we got to make sure that this is a ministry that through us we can be a blessing to you, and this has got to be a benefit to you. Too many churches got auxiliaries, and we say we do this and we do that and we serve this group and we serve that group, and we want to know, do they know that you all exist? And our folk getting the help that you all say that you are here to help them do. We got to make sure that we are ministering not out of natural ability, but because we have been covered by the blood and filled with the Holy Spirit. You see, when a preacher, a minister, a teacher, whoever else, has an attitude of wanting to impress or show what they can do with the text, I don't mean no harm. I've been in the pew and I've been in the pulpit. Listen, I get it. But I don't want to know what you can do with a text. I don't have time to be impressed. I got too much going on in my life. I got too much happening around me. I need some truth, okay? We need to know what the anointing of God is going to do with it in our lives. I don't need to hear what your favorite text is. Just make sure the text comes alive for me, because I got to go home. I got to go face some stuff. And I don't need to be impressed about your exegesis and all your hermeneutics. I need to know, is this going to help me? Am I going to get some healing? And am I going to leave here with some hope? Too many people are tired. They're tired. Tired of getting just hyped up and happy in church. Folk need some help. They need some healing. And they need some hope. Amen. That's it. All I want to know is what the anointing of God would do with whatever your ministry is, your text, your duty, whatever. What is the anointing of God going to do through you and help me? You talking to me, you got my attention. So now what? Text is full of words that speak the transformational work of the Spirit-led life, the evidence that God is operating in our lives. He said, he binds up. Am I talking to anybody that's ever been spiritually bound? Yeah. Text says that he heals broken hearts. You heard me say before, if broken hearts could rattle, I believe this church and every other church would be a noisy place. Come on, somebody. But the Bible says, he says he anointed me to preach, not just anything, but to heal broken hearts. Am I talking to anybody that's ever been brokenhearted? He said he liberates if folk are still leaving as bound as they came. Said he liberates. Am I talking to anybody who's ever been enslaved to some kind of sin? Said he comforts. Amen. Folk are distressing it down. And then it says he brings pure joy. To anybody needs to have some joy in the midst of a storm. Said he takes away some mourning. We got sad and mourning. But if anybody's ever had the spiritual experience of a mourning and a heavy heart, but after a while, God steps in. Wherever and whenever the teachings of Christ take hold in the hearts of people, changes take place. Amen. Changes take place. Talking more than the pews, the chairs, talking more than carpet color, talking more than paint. We got to start changing folks' lives. Amen. Think of the impact that the teachings of Christ and the scriptures have had upon you. Amen. Something must take place inside of us. We must become, as the Bible describes, new creatures. Think about it. Think about who and what you were before you came to Christ. Now, don't say that out loud. Y'all all look straight at me. Because I don't even want y'all looking at your neighbors acting like you know what all about them. That's what's wrong with folk now. Mm-mm. Y'all look right. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Think about who and what you were before you came to Christ. I'm asking a question. It's a rhetorical question. Please don't raise your hand. But I'm hoping that you know the answer to the question. But are you the same person? Be careful. Be careful. Are you the same person? Are you struggling seeing the transformational work of Christ in your life? You need to be able to see it, and not just because you know that you know that you know, but because the Holy Spirit is working in and through and on you. David, he became king over God's people and anointed because. Samuel took a horn of oil and anointed him in the midst of his brethren, and the Spirit of the Lord, the Bible says, came upon David from that day forward. Samuel, he grew powerful in the sight of God and man because. What was the because? Because God called him in his sleep. You got to hear the word of God. He called him out of his sleep and anointed the young Samuel. Elisha would become a great prophet of God because. Well, what was his because? Because he picked up the mantle. Y'all don't hear me in here. Of the prophet Elijah. After God sent his divine limousine service, woo, Jesus, to pick him up. I got any Bible readers in here? Job's later days were greater than his beginning because he was perfect and he was upright and one that feared God and he eschewed evil. There was a man in Caesarea, I'm about to close this thing, called Cornelius. And he was blessed to see the vision of God because he was a devout man and one that feared God with all his house, which gave as much alms to the people, and he prayed to God always. Paul, come on somebody, would become one of the greatest spiritual leaders of the first century church not because he was a great orator, but Paul had a Damascus Road experience. When I consider each of us in this sanctuary today, we are saved because. And the because is we confessed with our mouths the Lord Jesus. And we believed in our hearts that God has raised him from the dead. We believed. Listen, I don't mean any harm, but I got to say it as I get ready to take my seat. There has to be some evidence that a change has taken place in your life. There's got to be some evidence that God is moving in your life. Somebody ask you, why do you love the Lord? Quit saying I love the Lord because. But you say because he first loved me. I think I heard that this morning. I love the Lord because he first loved me. And because he has been and continues to be good to me. He continues to be better to me than what I deserve. That's mercy. Amen. It's recognizing that he woke us up in spite of what we did on yesterday, but you still came to church. Come on, somebody. That's mercy. Amen. Why do I love the Lord? Because he promised that he would never leave me nor forsake me. He said he would never leave me alone. Why do I love the Lord? Because he said he would be a mother to the motherless and a father to the fatherless. Why do I love the Lord? Because he's a friend that sticks closer than a brother. Why do I love the Lord? Because he saw me when I was on my deathbed. He saw me when I was on my sickbed. He saw me before when I was walking around unsaved. And he came down through 40 and two generations. And he walked this earth and he went to the cross for your sins and for mine. The scripture says that the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. Come on, somebody. That's a personal thing. You need to know that the Spirit of the Lord is upon you. I know you see it jumping off other folk, but you need to make sure that the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. And then get to your because. Not because I've been good, not because I've dotted every I, crossed every T, not because I'm living a perfect life, but because I've lived a purpose life, because he has anointed me. What has he anointed you to do? To preach good tidings to the poor. Sent me to heal brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison doors to those who are bound. You do know that not everybody in prison are the ones that's locked up. There's some folk who are locked up in their minds right now, walking around on these streets as free as they want to be, but they are bound in chains and they need to be set free. And if you keep reading down through verse 2 and verse 3, you'll get to the point of all your because. He said that the Lord may be glorified. That the Lord may be glorified. Care what you do, I don't care what you say, I don't care what you give or what you have. You do it that the Lord may be glorified. But there's some folk that God wants you to love that may not be very lovable, and you can't love them without the anointing. There's some folk that God wants you to give them some love, but you can't give what you don't have. You need to receive the love of God yourself. It's the anointing. There's some tough conversations that somebody's going to have with somebody on your job or the doctor's office, with your family. But you better be prayed up. You better be filled with the Spirit. And that's the only way you're going to be able to bridle your tongue, keep your own peace, and walk away with some joy. Even if the doctor's report isn't what you hoped it would be, you still have joy. Finley said, I got to get some stuff done at the hospital. Got to go to the doctor and got some blockages we got to figure out. He said, but I put it in the Lord's hands. I'm not saying not to take your medicine. I'm not saying not to go to the doctor. I'm not saying not to listen to all those instructions. That's not what I'm saying. Thank God for modern medicine. But you need to know that ultimately your healing is going to come from the Lord. Your help is going to come from the Lord. Too many folk are frustrated because they ain't getting enough from the government. They're not getting enough from social agencies. And we have not done enough to help ourselves. Get hooked up with the Lord. We hooking up, but with the wrong folk, with the wrong stuff. We've been fooled by Facebook because we got the nerve to even call them friends. And Jesus said, listen, there's no friend. The song says there's no friend like the lowly Jesus. No, not one. You might have 4,000 friends on Facebook. They can't help you when you're in a crisis. But Jesus can. I don't care how many folk following you on Instagram, you better be following Christ. Know who Jesus is. And that's why when we were singing that song earlier, and we're going to sing it again, that's why I got feeling good. Because that becomes more than just a response, but it's a reason. The song said, because he lives, I can face tomorrow. And if I'm gonna face my tomorrow, I can face my today. Because he lives, all fear is gone. Not because I don't have some concerns, but my fear is gone. Because I know who holds my future. And life is worth living just, come on somebody, y'all stand to your feet, let's sing that song. Woo, Jesus. Because he lives, come on brothers. I can face tomorrow.
Thank you for listening to this message brought to you by First Baptist Church, West College Hill. If this word inspired you, please consider sharing it. We ask that you do not alter the content without permission. We invite you to firstbaptistchurchwch.org. Inquiries can be submitted at info@firstbaptistchurchwch.org. Our mailing address is 6210 Betts Avenue, Cincinnati, Ohio, 45224. Or you can call our offices at 513-681-1011. First Baptist Church, West College Hill, reaching the world without sacrificing the message. First Baptist Church, West College Hill, reaching the world without sacrificing the message.